Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tram. Today we're going to learn the halachas of the 3 weeks and the 9 days. This is Siman Kuf Chof Beis 122 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Our topic over here comes from a pasuk which is in Sefer Eicha, Megillas Eicha, which is the third pasuk, which says, "Kol rodfeah hisigua ben Mitzrayim." All those who pursue Israel caught up to her, captured her during the time of the between the narrow straits. And this is understood to mean that between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, which is a period of exactly 3 weeks, 22 days, a period of sadness, a period where a lot of tragedies happened historically to the Jewish people, and therefore the practices that reflect that are practices of being a little more careful, of expressing a little bit of avelos, of mourning as well. We're going to jump straight in. Our first section of concepts today takes us through the practices during the 3 weeks themselves. Let's start from the top. So, what mourning customs are observed from the Shiva Sabbatamas till after Tisha B'Av? So we observe this as a period of partial mourning. Like in a state of Avelos, it's very similar to the Yud Beis Chodesh, the 12 months of Avelos for a parent, Rachmana Litzlan. So what are some of the extra things that people do during this period? The Kitzur notes that many people have the custom to do Tikkun Chatzos every day. Tikkun Chatzos is at midnight, which is the midway between sunset and sunrise, where a person will get up in the middle of the night and say certain prayers and learn a little bit because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Some people do this every single night, but the Kitzur records that this being done specifically around this time, during this 3 weeks, is especially appropriate. What are some things that people do not do during this period of time? So the Kitzur brings down 5 different practices. Not making weddings or celebrations, and this refers even if a couple's not yet had children. One does not listen or play music. One does not say the bracha or shechianu. One does not take haircuts. And finally, Kitzur also records that some have the practice not to eat meat or drink wine. The Kitzur actually notes that this is a minhag for some for entire 3 weeks. Many only keep this practice only for the 9 days, but there is a practice to do it even for 3 weeks that the Kitzur records as well. Let's break that down into a few questions. So engagements. So can one get engaged and have a party during the 3 weeks? So the Kitzur says engagements with meals are allowed until Rosh Chodesh Av, but until after Rosh Chodesh Av, engagements are held without meals, maybe only desserts as well. In general, people do not make more engagement parties or vorts during the entire 3 weeks. Music. Can a Jewish musician perform during this period? So a professional Jewish musician, this is their parnasa, may perform for non-Jews until Rosh Chodesh Av, but not from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, nor on the actual 17th of Tammuz or any other fast days as well, like the 10th of Teves. Let's talk about the new items for a second. May I buy new items during the 3 weeks? The answer is no, because one should not be buying something which will require somebody to say the bracha of shehechiano, that a person has got something new. And therefore, a person should not buy garments which would require that as well, special garments. Exceptions for saying the bracha shehechiano would actually mean for any case of, let's say, where it's a mitzvah. So, for instance, a pidyon haben, where a shehechiano is recited, it would be recited during the 3 weeks if that turns out to be the 31st day. What about on new fruits? So if the new fruit won't be available after Tisha B'Av, one may say the Shechianu, the new fruit, even during the weekday. And even if it is, it will be available afterwards, one may say the Shechianu, but on Shabbos. Let's dig into a little bit about haircuts. What are the haircut restrictions during this period? So haircuts and beard trimmings are disallowed for adults and children. However, trimming the moustache is permitted until the week of Tisha B'Av if it interferes with eating, if the moustache is getting into the way of eating. What about body hair? So women may shave bodily hair that's not on the head during this period of time. Are nails allowed to be cut during this period? So nails are allowed to be cut until the week of Tisha B'Av itself. And the exception to this is if a woman is going to the mikveh and needs it, it needs to cut her nails for that. Or let's say a mohel needs to cut his nails in order to prepare for a bris milah. Are there any other considerations during the 3 weeks? So the Kitzur does note that that teachers and parents should not hit their children during this period of time.
And although the practice of corporal punishment has diminished over the course of time, nonetheless, the idea over here is very much central, which is it's a period that's not good for us. It's a period where there's danger, and so we should not do any activities which could potentially be dangerous, because it is unfortunate time for the nation of Israel. We move to our second thing, and that is changes in the tefillah during this period of time. So what haftarahs are read on the three Shabbosos between the 17th of Tammuz and the Tisha B'Av? So they are called the Gimel de Paranusa, the three haftarahs of retribution. Two of them come from the beginning of Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu Perek Aleph Perek Beis, and the next one comes from Chazon Yeshayahu, which is the first perek in Yeshayahu. And they're known by their acronym, which is Dishach, which is the first word of each haftarah taken into an acronym. What if the reader mistakenly reads the regular haftarah instead? So on Parshas Pinchas, they read Pinchas' haftarah, and they don't get do the first of the 3 weeks haftarahs. So the next Shabbos is not a problem. They'll just merge together the haftarah 1 and 2 together, so they're doing all three of them. And the reason is because those two are actually found proximate to each other. They're Yirmiyahu Aleph and Beis, and therefore they are put next to each other. What haftarah is read if Rosh Chodesh Av occurs on Shabbos? So the Kisra Shulchan Aruch notes different customs. Some people do Hashamayim Kisi, which is the one for Rosh Chodesh, whereas many communities also do Shimu Shemaim, which is the haftarah of that would be appropriate for that of the 3 weeks. When is Kiddush Levana recited? So we wait until after Tisha B'Av. Usually it's done at least 3 days after the Moilad, after the appearance of the new moon. And so Sfaradim after 7 days. But in both these cases, when it comes to this during this period of time where it's said, we only do it after Tisha B'Av. Are the shul coverings really changed on Shabbos Chazon? The answer is yes. The paroiches and the table coverings and the Torah mantles are changed on Shabbos Chazon, but not if Tisha B'Av occurs on a Shabbos. So that would be the way to arrange it. Many communities do not do this. They only do this actually on Tisha B'Av itself. Who is customarily called up for the maftir on Shabbos Chazon? So generally speaking, the rabbi is called up for this haftarah. That's the practice. That's the practice when I was growing up was that, and it's done in a special mournful tune of Eicha during the especially sad parts in the middle of the haftarah. We now move to the third concept, and that is the halachas of the 9 days. There's so many halachas, but we're going to do a quick run through over here. We know the Gemara tells us in Tanis, Mishenichnas Av, Mimat, and Besimcha, when Av comes in, we decrease the amount of Simcha. Obviously, there's always Simcha in Av, that's why it says we lessen. There is always Simcha, but there's a lot of things that reflect that. Reflect this idea. We're going to go through a few of them, and so the main practices that we're going to focus on right now are those based on the Shulchan Aruch, the construction, court cases, wine and meat, laundry, and new garments and washing. So those are the general topics that we're going to be addressing. Let's jump straight in. So construction, what are the limits are there on construction? So any activities that generate joy, so for instance building for pleasure or relaxation, should be avoided. So what happens if I already contracted a non-Jew to do the work? So it's best to persuade him to wait for the week of the 9 days, even if it means paying him a little extra for the delay. What about court cases? So if a Jew has a court date with a non-Jew during the 9 days, so one should postpone the court date to after Tisha B'Av. How long should this be in effect for? So generally, one should try to do it till the end of the month of Av as well, but if not possible, at least until after Tisha B'Av. Let's move to the next topic, which is wine and meat. So what restrictions exist regarding the wine and meat during the 9 days? So it's forbidden to eat meat or drink wine during from Rosh Chodesh Av until after Tisha B'Av, except on Shabbos or for meals which are a mitzvah. What about chicken? Chicken is included. Poultry is included in this. What about a dish in which had meat cooked in it? So for instance, let's say I have chicken soup, but I'm just eating the soup, not the chicken. That is also included in this prohibition as well. What about something cooked in a meat pot? So if the meat pot was clean, it is fine if the dish is part of itself. What if someone cannot medically eat milk products? So, obviously there's a lot of in-between between milk and meat, but sensitive individuals, those who need to have meat, can be lenient, but they should refrain at least from the 7th to the 9th of Av, which is the time when when our aggressors entered into the Beis HaMikdash and the looting and pillaging started there itself. What is a Surah Smitzah which will allow the eating of meat and drinking of wine? So it would include a Bris Milah, a Pidyon HaBen, or a completion of a tractate or a section of Gomorrah. Who may participate in the Surah Smitzah during the 9 days? The Kitzur lists parents, siblings, children, those involved in the Mitzah, and 10 regular friends who would naturally be a part of that to make that Siyam. The Be'er Halacha says it's only those who actually helped finance the learning that actually took place. And Rav Moshe Feinstein makes observations that any people who normally eat together may, with the person making the seal, may eat with him as well. So he gives an example. It's in a camp. If everybody always eats together in the cafeteria and somebody makes a seal, then everybody else actually may eat because they eat with him as well. This does not include people who are randomly eating in a restaurant and they nominally just throw in a seal just to make sure that they're getting money from their clientele. That does not work as well. I once got a question where somebody said, I was driving to a restaurant and they had a seal in the restaurant, and then I was a little late, so I listened to the seal on the phone, and is that right? That's not exactly what was intended over here. Can the Seudas Mitzvah be made at any time in the 9 days? So so it can be until the midday of Erev Tisha B'Av. At that point in time, no Seudas Mitzvah would allow me to either. What about the Vachnacht, or the Brit Yitzchak, the night before a Bris Milah? So that's not considered a Seudas Mitzvah, so there's no meat allowed at that as well. What about the Hadalah wine on Motzei Shabbos? So ideally a child should be given to drink from the Hadalah wine. But if there's none available, then the person saying reciting it may drink enough to fill a cheek, and that should be sufficient. Let's move into the next topic, which is laundry. Are laundry and wearing freshly laundered clothes allowed? So both of wearing and laundering clothing, wearing freshly laundered clothes or laundering clothes are forbidden during the 9 days. What happens if it was cleaned beforehand? So it's included in this, one may not wear it. What happens if I'm laundering it, but I'm not going to use it until after Tisha B'Av? That's also not allowed as well. What about a non-Jew cleaning for a Jew? That's not allowed, so you can't take your suit or your dress to the cleaners. What about a Jew doing it for a non-Jew? So if they're employed to do so, they may do so, except on the Shavua Shechal Boy, on the actual, the week that Tisha B'Av falls itself. What about tablecloths and bedding? So these are included in the prohibition of freshly laundered clothes, and we may not wash them during this week. What about for Shabbos? So clean clothes and clean tablecloths are allowed in honor of Shabbos, but not clean sheets. What about a woman in the period of Zayin Nekiyim? So when if she needs to wash to have clean white clothes to go through the period of purification for the mikveh, then she may, and this is true as well in the circumstance of cloth diapers for children, which was more common in yesteryear. We now move into the topic of new garments. May new garments, shoes, or socks be made or knitted during the 9 days? So it's forbidden to have new garments or to make them as well, even if you're having a non-Jew make them for you. Under what circumstances can garments or shoes be made during the 9 days? So they can only be made if urgently needed for an event such as a wedding immediately after Tisha B'Av, then they may be made by a non-Jew. Obviously, it's better to plan ahead, but this situation does come up because many weddings are right after Tisha B'Av, and therefore asking a non-Jew to do this, and if it comes late, one can have them finish it up. May one arrange for clothing or shoes to be made before Rosh Chodesh Av, even if the craftsman will complete the work after Rosh Chodesh? The answer is yes, it's permitted, even if the craftsman is Jewish, to start this as well. The Be'er Halacha suggests that certainly not during the Shavua Shechal Boy, when the actual Tisha B'Av, the week that Tisha B'Av is in as well, even if it started before. Is there a custom regarding arranging weaving threads, what's called shesi, during the 9 days? The Kisra records a very interesting custom that women would avoid setting up the loom, which would be called the shesi thread, because it's reminiscent of the word Evan Shesiyah, the foundation stone in the base of Migdash. And he said the custom should be maintained. These days, most women are not setting up the loom themselves, but that would be the practice in those days. We move to our topic of washing, and so generally speaking, is bathing permitted during the 9 days? So bathing is generally forbidden during these days, even in cold water. Are there exceptions for bathing during the 9 days? So yes, for medical necessity, such as postpartum or pregnant women or a weak person advised by a physician or a woman going to the mikveh may all bathe during this time. If a woman needs to immerse in the mikveh the night after Tisha B'Av and cannot bathe on Tisha B'Av itself, what should she do? So she may bathe on Erev Tisha B'Av to prepare for the mikveh as well. Similarly, minimal washing is permitted when she begins the Shiva Nekiyim, since it's not for pleasure. May one bathe on Erev Shabbos during the 9 days? So the Kitzur says that if it coincides, if the Erev Shabbos coincides with Rosh Chodesh, then one would be able to bathe, but not if it were not. However, in the halachas of the 3 weeks, Rav Moshe Feinstein is recorded as saying is because of the weakness of this generation, people are allowed to bathe and shower regularly on the Erev Shabbos Chazon. May one wash their head on Erev Shabbos during this period? So if one is regularly washes their hair on that time, one can do it, but without soap. Again, that's within the Kitzur's framework over here. Just generally speaking, it should be diminished. Even on Erev Shabbos, it should not be a pleasure bathing as well. May one go to a mikvah on Erev Shabbos during the 9 days? So the Kitzur says, if you go religiously every single Friday, then you may go this time only in cold water. However, if you skip sometimes, then you're skipping this one as well. May a mourner whose 30-day mourning period ends after the Shiva Sabbatamos take a haircut? So the answer is yes. Let's say the Shloshim ends in between the 17th of Tammuz and Rosh Chodesh Av, they would be permitted to take a haircut because they couldn't take it before the 3 weeks. However, if it falls in the 9 days, then a person should not take a haircut then. Who may wear Shabbos clothing at a bris held during the 9 days? So only the mohel, the sandek, and the parents of the baby. Also, the woman who brings the baby into the room, who's the kvatrin, may, and the kvater may, may as well, but the man who brings the boy in may not wear Shabbos clothing as well. Can those permitted to wear Shabbos clothing at a bris take haircuts on the occasion? So yes, they may do so, but only before Shabbos Chazon. After Shabbos Chazon, which is the Shavu Shechalboy, haircuts have been even for the Balei HaSimcha. Can fresh linen undergarments and socks be worn on Shabbos Chazon? The answer is yes, because these are called big day zeah, and therefore they're the garments of perspiration, and one may change them as well. Finally, last question, may other Shabbos clothing be worn on Shabbos Chazon? So it depends on the local custom. Some allow it, while some do not, as to whether freshly laundered Shabbos clothing can be worn fully on the Shabbos Chazon. This is a general overview. Obviously, there are very many specific and particular questions which relate to the 3 weeks and the 9 days. But Be'ezra Hashem, in the way that we express our restrictions for this period, we should be able to see the Geula Shlema Bekarav. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.